Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at Bridgestone Arena as Coach Nick Saban is about to address the media and talk about his minority ownership with the Predators. So we'll carry that for you when he gets ready to go, running a little behind, and then they will start here in just a few minutes. And then Bill Haslam, the former governor and majority owner of the Nashville Predators, will join us here at the desk at the Jack Daniels Barrel House after that press conference. So looking forward to that.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm going to hear what the coach says about, you know, hockey and being part of the ownership group here. I hope he's not asked football questions. There'll be a time and place
for
that.
You can ask him. I would say one, but that's it. This is about the Predators.
Yeah. But when would you ask him?
Coach, talk about your schedule. Talk about your mindset.
Say, I was going to ask Paul Feinbaum this, but since you're here, what do you think about? And then just trail off like that.
No, it'd be like, I could see you do this. But like, Coach, be honest. Do you hate Kirby? Do you just want to smack the crap out of him?
Mike Keith, we were laughing one time about the calls when Mike did the Titans radio show. About, hey, yeah, caller, you got a question? Yeah, Mike, love the show, big fan. And then it's like, that would be it.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah. You got a question? No, I just let you know how I feel. Go Rec Shop, go Vols.
Talk about your mindset.
Hey, we're a week away from the week and a day for the Music City Bowl. So
we are, yeah, we'll be there.
With the Vol. And this whole Josh Heupel not talking to the media thing is just weirded me out, man.
Yeah, I don't really get that either. But
no. It's just kind of – it's almost like a slap in the face of the bowl game.
Yeah.
Is Bielema talking for Illinois? He's going to talk, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. At that press conference.
Do you think bowls are going away?
I think they're changing, yeah.
How?
I mean, I think as the playoff expands, that's going to absorb some of these. And look, I think with the group of five, you know, and this could be an opportunity for some of these lower bowls, but, if the group of five has their own playoff, that can absorb some bowls. And then I think some are going to go away. There's too many. I mean, I think we can agree there's too many.
But you asked so the fan base and these players, they don't, they love it, right?
I know, but I mean, like, I do kind of have an issue with a 6-6 team or a 6-6 team making it, and you're basically the bowl game deciding if you have a winning record or not.
Okay.
You know?
Is there a bowl game tonight? When's the Pop-Tart?
There's a bowl game. There's the Idaho Potato Bowl. It's going on like right now.
You got to let me know when the – is it really? I got to know when the Pop-Tart Bowl goes so I can figure it out. Okay, I'm just making sure. You got to let me know about the Pop-Tart Bowl because I got to see the Pop-Tart get lowered into the toaster.
That's like your favorite thing.
It is the best thing going on right now. Washington State versus Utah State, Idaho Bowl. Tomorrow night, the Boca Raton Bowl of Beans, Toledo versus Louisville. And then I wouldn't mind going to the New Orleans Bowl. I love New Orleans. West Kentucky versus Southern Miss.
Yeah,
that's
so
Wednesday.
There are three bowl games tomorrow. The Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Bees between Toledo and Louisville, the New Orleans Bowl between Western Kentucky and Southern Miss, and the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl features UNLV against Ohio. And then on Christmas Eve, the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl between Cal and Hawaii.
We pronounce it Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Yeah. Okay. And then we would start rolling after all that stuff. Oh, I like it.
And then December, the day after Christmas, you got the Game Above Sports Bowl between Central Michigan and Northwestern, the Rate Bowl between New Mexico and Minnesota, the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl between FIU and UTSA. Then Saturday, the Go Bowling Military Bowl, Pitt and East Carolina. That should be an interesting one.
Yeah.
How about this? Now, this one cracks me up because there were people that thought this could be the national championship game. In the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl, Penn State against Clemson.
Holy cow, I didn't even see that one. Man, that's something else. Yeah, because they're both ranked in the top 10.
Yep.
We talked on this show, like Clemson, they could start out really hot. They play LSU and started home and get it going, and they just fell apart. LSU beat them, and then
the Pop-Tarts Bowl is on Saturday.
Georgia Tech and BYU.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of these are background noise games, and I get all that, but I mean, because the big boys have dominated, and we're looking forward to the Sugar and the Rose and the Orange and the Fiesta Bowl in a week and ready to get going. But I think good. I like the big games on New Year's Day. We all grew up with the bowl games on New Year's Day. There are like six of them. So now you got three back to back to back. I think it's really cool. It's going to be a fun day to sit around and watch all those games because I do think the Final Eight all could win the national championship.
Yeah, I agree. I like the just looking at some, like the Liberty Bowl is interesting. Navy, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Should be a good game.
I'm telling you, talking to these kids.
How about the
coaches?
Duke's Mayo Bowl, Dr. Crane?
I love it. We're going to take down Wake Forest like there's no tomorrow.
That'll be good.
I mean, 5-7, the guy in the bowl game. Let the other schools not go and play? Oh, well.
The third highest, I think, AP rank for education or something like that.
Is that APR?
APR, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Same thing as AP rank, yeah.
Hey, so you got some smart boys down there. Proud of you, Dr. Crane.
Yeah, it's not just gas station breakfast food and a good time. It's actually education and football.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are like, well, they don't deserve – look, you get – what did Clark Lee say? I get 20 more practices with my guys, more time to spend around them. These guys get more practice. I mean, I get the portal opens January the 2nd, and a lot of guys will take off and disappear. But as of right now, you got your team. And you got still 20 days of practice to get ready and bond with them and play a bowl game. It's a great time. I mean, more coaches should take the approach that Clark Lee took to all this. We should have won more games. Nobody to blame but ourselves. Let's go win the bowl game and have fun doing it. Love it, Clark. That's how you do it.
I agree.
No one else is complaining left or right. Now, when the portal hits January the 2nd, whoo, that's going to be for 2 weeks, the 2nd to the 16th. That's going to be something else. With everybody getting in there, we'll have a lot more after some of the bowl games of who's going to get to the portal and how things are shaping up for 26.
Real quick, before we step away and then come back for the press conference, Mac has a question on the Music City Bowl. Mac, what's up?
How you doing, fellas?
We're good.
Enjoy your all show as much as I can get it. I wanted to ask Joe about the Music City Bowl.
Yeah.
Joe, is the Emu and Doug going to be there?
We're told they are. That's the rumor.
Okay.
That's the rumor.
It hit me last night when I was watching TV, when I was watching the ball game last night, and I thought, hey, I wonder if they're going to be at the Music City Bowl. Joe will know.
Well, you know, if you pour millions into a bowl game and your biggest thing is the Emu and Doug, would you not? I mean, I would.
I would think so.
Absolutely bring him here.
And they have to parachute in.
That'd be awesome.
That's a great commercial. And, look, that's funny. When you mentioned the Emu, we all know.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Thank you, Mac. Appreciate
really,
the call.
Really enjoy you guys. Really enjoy you guys and appreciate your comments at the end of the show every day. It helps.
Absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate you listening and the kind words. We'll step away and should be having Nick Saban's press conference start here in just a few minutes on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Let's hear from head coach Nick Saban.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. We appreciate you coming. You were flooded. A lot of them saying, wow, what a great hire. And a lot of them being friends from Knoxville saying, what in the world is going on here? Is Coach? I think Coach has 297 victories. Is that right? You probably don't. Well, at least 16 of them I remember very well, being on the wrong end of them as a Tennessee fan. So, but this came about when we first started looking at the possibility of a WNBA team, and Coach reached out, and then he said, well, I might also be interested in hockey. And I thought, well, that's the greatest no-brainer of all time. You have somebody who understands building a championship culture, who understands, I think, better than almost anybody in sports, the process that's needed to get to where you compete as a champion. And somebody who just like I do, love sports and love the idea of being involved. And he's obviously a fan of Nashville as well, since he has some investment here in the car business. And when he decided to add on to that and join the sports business, I thought that's a great day for Nashville. So, Coach, welcome. We're thrilled to have you with us, and I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for us because one of the biggest fears that I had in retiring was I'd been a part of a team since I was 9 years old. And when I retired, I was no longer a part of a team. And when Mr. Haslam gave us the opportunity to be a part of this team, which I've always been interested in hockey. It goes back to 10 years at Michigan State when they had tremendous hockey teams, won national championships. I was really good friends with the coach there. We shared ideas. And then to have the opportunity to be partners with Mr. Haslam, a successful organization with a great brand like the Predators, was really something that was appealing to us and an opportunity that we were so excited to be able to take advantage of. So I'm no expert in hockey, so don't look at me like I'm going to make some huge impact coaching around here, because that's not going to happen. But I do have a pretty good idea of what it takes to have successful organizations. And one of the reasons that we wanted to partner with the Predators and Mr. Haslam and this organization, they want to be successful. They want to be successful, the people in this town, the fans who support it. You know, we came to a game several years ago when we were in the playoffs here and playing the Pittsburgh team. And, you know, I got killed for wearing Predator stuff because I grew up in West Virginia and they're all Pittsburgh fans and everything. So I got absolutely blasted for being a traitor, but
I know how that feels.
I'm not a traitor, and we may have beat Tennessee 16 times, which I'm really proud of, but the only game that I remember is the one we lost. So, but anyway, we're happy to be here. We're excited to be here. You know, Dream Sport is something that we created because we wanted to get involved in sports organizations. So my partner and I, Joe Agresti, decided that we would make this entity, and absolutely excited about because we are connected to this town with the businesses that we have. We think this is a great, Nashville is a great growing city in the right part of the country for us. And to be a part of the hockey team here is something special, and we'd love to build it into a championship. So we'd love to partner with Mr. Haslam on anything that we can do to help this organization be successful.
All right, questions. And like I said, if we can let us bring a mic to you, that'd be great.
Nick, if you're not coaching hockey, what is it that you maybe, and it's still early, but what do you envision concrete bringing to the franchise besides your money?
Well, you know, what does it take to be a successful organization? Process. You know, there's some of the things that we did when I was in the NFL, as well as in college, from, you know, how you bring players to a team. How you manage the organization from a financial standpoint to maximize the players that you can bring to the team relative to what you can spend. How do you successfully get people in the organization to work together? The kind of leadership that that takes. I'm kind of a transformational leader where you want to have great relationships with the people. How do you set a good example, be somebody that somebody can emulate in a first-class way? You know, how do you help somebody have the best chance to be successful, which is what we would want every person in this organization to do, is have the best chance to be all they can be from a player standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, from an organizational standpoint. So having great relationships with those people and contributing every way you can. I mean, Bill and I talk quite a bit about some of the things that we did in football that may bleed over into what they could do here in the hockey organization that may be helpful. Some things maybe not, but anything like that that we can do, we'd love to do.
Next question.
Coach, just curious, how present do you expect to be? I have no idea what your calendar looks like after football season, when the bulk of hockey season is. How often will you be here? What will you be doing around? That kind of thing.
It's up to him.
Oh, you're full time then.
You know, there was a couple occasions where I've already been here once to visit with the front office of the organization, once what I'm going to call mini camp, you know, that they had for and spoke to the team and the coaches. And you know, kind of challenge the team, you know, the people that were there, which was mostly the Triple A team, whatever that's called, and to, you know, be a team that nobody wants to play against. You know, that was always our goal with Alabama. So, and that's how you compete, the toughness that you play with, the disposition that you go out there and compete with. So, you know, those kinds of things I'd like to continue to do, and whatever Mr. Haslam would like for me to do and thinks that I can contribute in a positive way, I'd like to do. You know, we come here on occasion because of our business. It's not that far away. It's a good place for Miss Terry to shop, so we're all good.
It's up to me. You'll be playing a lot less golf this winter, but we'll see.
Nick, you talked about, you know, aligning yourself with high achievers in the past. As a part of your process, how contagious have you found that to be? How much a part of a process is that for you?
Well, I think, you know, process is just a definition of what you have to do to be successful. First of all, you got to define what you want to do. Then what do you have to do it? And then how do you establish the discipline organizationally to be able to do it every day? And that's something that did a pretty good job of in the past, establishing a process, having people in the organization. It's not just an organizational thing, it's an individual thing. My success probably was more about helping people be successful. In other words, I wanted everybody in the organization to have goals and aspirations, and I wanted to help them define what they had to do it and provide the leadership to help them to do it. So if we could get everybody in this organization playing like a champion, we might have a chance to win a championship. And that's something that I always tried to promote with our players and the people in our organization. And I know Mr. Haslam wants to do that in this organization, and if there's anything I can do to contribute to that process, I'd be glad to be helpful.
Nick, I'm curious how much you've interacted with Barry Trotz so far, and what are your impressions of him?
Look, I know Barry is a good guy. We had a couple meetings, and I like the guy. I don't know enough about what he does and the job that he's done to this point to be able to, and nor would I want to evaluate, you know, his performance in any kind of way. I think that's up to, you know, other people in the organization. I'm here to support him every way that I can to help him be successful, and anyone else in the organization that I can be helpful to.
Nick, what excites you most about being a part of this franchise and in this city at this stage?
It's exciting as hell to be a part of this organization. The couple games that we've been to in the past, the fans, the enthusiasm, the passion in the organization were tremendous. The brand is really outstanding. I think hockey is one of the sort of fastest growing sports. You know, I have a house in South Florida, and people talk about hockey more than they talk about the Miami Dolphins, who I used to be the coach of, which kind of pisses me off, but it is what it is. So the Panthers are successful, and I think when you have a successful organization, a lot of people will relate to that, and that's certainly the goal here.
Gentry?
Yep. Nick, you talk about being a competitor. I'm just curious, how has retirement suited you? Are you bored? Are you looking for a challenge?
I think doing things like this is a part of it. Being involved in a team is a part of it. You know, I gamble on a golf course every chance I get, so that's part of it, being competitive. But being a part of game day is also... because it's not just showing up and talking on Saturday. You know, there's preparation involved. It keeps you involved in the game. You know, when you coach a team, you look at everything through a straw. You know, your team, who you're playing, what you need to do to improve your team. When you do something like this, you look at everything from 1,000 feet. You know, you're looking at, I wouldn't know who Scataboo was from a load of coal if I wasn't doing game day, because I didn't ever know anything about Arizona State because we didn't ever play them. But that happens globally. And it's kind of an interesting approach, and it's fun. We have a good group of people on game day, and we obviously announced on game day that I was going to be a part of this organization, which can't hurt anybody or anything. But I'm not bored. I have to be honest that when I'm sitting doing game day in Oklahoma Stadium before we play, or in Texas A&M Stadium when before they play, it gets me a little bit that I'd like to be playing in the game. But are you willing to do the 14-hour a day, every day, leading up to the game for the whole season? That's what gets you when you get old.
A couple more questions.
Nick, you mentioned wanting to be part of a team and kind of the leadership advice that you can bring. Are you also expecting a return on this investment, just given how NHL teams have risen in value over the last few decades?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't think anybody invests money in anything to lose it. So, but it more is about the challenge of how can we help the team rebuild, get better, have a chance to compete for a championship. And then I think when you do that, all the other things, you know, sort of come with it. And so that's the goal. That's the incitement. That's the reason that I'm here today. It's not about making money. It's about how can we get better and what can we do, and how exciting it is to be a part of, you know, this organization. And, you know, to be honest, Ms. Terry has never asked me, like, who won a game. Last night I was looking at scores and she asked me who won the Predators game. So this runs deep in our house.
Coach, you said just a little bit earlier that you're not by no means an expert on hockey. So what will you do to immerse yourself and learn the nuances of everything that you're now investing in?
Well, I think there's two parts of it. I think there's an operational side of it. So how do you bring the players to the team? You know, how do you get the best people in the organization? Is there some experience that you've had in the past that can contribute to that? You know, I was fortunate to be around a lot of people that were great mentors who were parts of successful organizations. Started with Don James, my college coach, George Perlis, 4 Super Bowls with Chuck Knoll, and being a part of that organization, Belichick being a part of a whole bunch of Super Bowls. So what it takes to be successful is really pretty much the same in business as it is in sports, as it is in hockey, as it is in football, in terms of how do you build an organization that has the best chance to be successful. And it's not about, you know, how you change lines or set lines or whatever you do. You know, when the game starts, that's up to the coach, which I'm not qualified to be a coach in hockey. And I am qualified to support the coach and help him provide the leadership to help his players maybe develop the kind of psychological disposition, competitive character to go out and play and be more successful because of it, which is what pro players want to do. You know, everybody always said, did you hate coaching in the NFL? I say, hell no, I loved it. I said, the motivation of the players was different. They wanted to have a longer career, they wanted to make more money, but they still had a passion to do that. In college, players were trying to create value for their future, so they would have the opportunity to do that. So, what's the difference? Everybody wants to be good. How can you help them be good? And how good do you want to be? And I think I wanted to be a part of this organization because I feel like we want to be good.
Joe? Off of what Chris said, Coach, about being immersed in the hockey team, please tell us you know how to skate. And if not, will we see you on the ice at some point?
Well, you know where I came from? A coal mining town in West Virginia. We didn't have any ice. We didn't have any ice skates. And there was nobody playing hockey within a 100-mile radius. So, no, I have skated. I can't say I'm a skater. So, I don't know if you'll see me on the ice or not.
That was not a prerequisite for the deal.
Any others? Last one.
Bill, from your perspective,
yeah,
to not only have Coach Saban as part of this ownership group now, but just
the way that the organization is trending now since you've taken over as chairman? How does that excite you? What do you see in all of this moving forward?
You know, if you're in this room, you don't get a sense for who Coach is and how competitive he is and how much he wants to win, then you've missed it, right? Or you don't have a pulse. And I think everybody, like I said, just get it sitting in this room. And when I talk to Coach, again, both of us understand, like, we're not going to coach this team. We're not going to decide who we draft. We're not going to decide what's going to happen at the, you know, trade deadline. But he does bring a history of winning, I'd argue, almost like no one else. And I love it that he wants to be involved here. So it's just real. Listen, this weekend was a great weekend, right? We won Saturday night, Sunday night. Titans won Sunday afternoon. It was a great Nashville sports weekend. And I left thinking, you know, we had huge crowds both nights, and we're playing 500 hockey, and we're packing the arena out. It's really a great atmosphere. I thought, these folks deserve a great team. And that's what we want to be a part of.
You know, to that point, Bill brings up a good point. I'm not going to decide who we pick in the draft. But having been involved in drafts, how do you get to the point where you get the players evaluated right because of the process and how you do it? So you can evaluate psychological disposition. That takes somebody making input. You have to define critical factors to play every position that fits how you want to play the game. You know, the Capitals play different than Edmonton. I know that much. So when you define all those things, then you get the right pieces and you have the right people making those decisions, but you've given them sort of a framework of what is the best way for us to be able to evaluate the players so we're going to get the best value for the player that we pick. Does that make sense? Which we may not have any input in who that is, but we can have input into the process that will help them make better picks.
All right. Thank you all very much. I think you can see why I'm really excited about Nick being willing to join our team, and we look forward to lots of years of great hockey and success on the ice. Thanks, everybody, for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, and we continue talking some Predators and ownership with Bill Haslam, the former governor of the state of Tennessee, who has joined us, been kind enough to join us here at the Jack Daniel's Barrel House. That was a lot of fun. I told our owner, Bud Walters, that I felt like I was sitting in an Alabama press conference.
Well, actually, more than that, I felt like I was – you leave – anytime you're with Coach, you leave, like, wanting to be better. I mean, he really is. You kind of have this sense of, like, hey, I want to go out and do everything I'm doing a little better. He's such a person that's about quality and excellence. It's just fun to be around him.
So you guys kind of touched on it, but I like listening to him. I mean, it sounds like this is not just, hey, here's a check, you know, I'm going to buy into the team. He wants to be involved.
You know, it's been interesting. I didn't really know when we first started talking. He said he first reached out to us when we were talking about the WNBA deal. And he said, by the way, if there's any way to be a part of the Predators group, I'd really be interested in that. And I go, well, kind of feels like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
to have one of the greatest of all times be a part of your ownership group. So we started talking, and I didn't want to be bold enough to say, hey, we'd love to have you do more than just write a check. But it quickly became apparent anything he does, he wants to do really well. He talked about a little bit there. You know, I've been so impressed to listen to how he prepares for game day.
Yeah.
I mean, he could mail it in, right? He knows enough. He could go, you know, talk whatever with anybody. He studies it like he did when he was coach. I mean, he's watching game tape all week. It's just kind of who he is. And so I think he'll be a huge addition for us here.
Did you know him before any of this?
I knew him a little bit, not really well. You know, like I said, being born and bred in Knoxville, you know.
Yeah, right.
He beat our brains in about 16 times, and we finally got him once that I remember. But we had met,
right.
But we weren't buddies by any means. And he reached out, and I thought, again, the relationship just started, but that's been, you know, over a year ago. And so it's been a really good experience. I don't, you know, a lot of times you meet folks that are, you know, as prominent and successful as
right.
he is, and you're either disappointed in who they are as a person, or you feel like they're really not going to pursue it in the right way, and he's been just the opposite.
You know, it's funny, Mr. Haslam, Chase and I were
SEC. I'm Bill.
Oh, not to us.
My dad's Mr. Haslam.
Our owner's over there. We were at SEC Media Days. Chase and I were in Atlanta back in July. The Nashville Predators are the SEC football team's hockey team. Does that make sense?
It does.
And everybody wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, and we should be, right? I mean, we've got that history. We've got that exposure. You know, we have such a close tie-in with the SEC due to where we are. So we love being that. And I've heard you all talk about that a little bit on the radio, which is I'm all in.
Yeah, we had Greg Sankey on.
Yeah.
And we're asking Greg Sankey questions about the college football playoff, and he's going through the answers. And Chase says, well, I hear you're a big hockey fan, lit up like a Christmas tree. Yeah. Couldn't get him to shut up, yeah. Right?
He was here last year when we had one of those games where we scored twice with like 3 minutes to go and won the game. And he's like, this is about as exciting a sport as
right.
about it. And he gets to go to a lot of exciting sports events.
Yes.
Right?
We're talking to Bill Haslam, Predators owner and chairman. So when you look at things from your lens, I mean, there are some owners that are like Jerry Jones and they're in the office every day.
Right.
And then there's some that aren't involved as much. What has kind of been your role as you've gone through this transition process of, you know, buying into the team and then majority owner?
It's a great question, right? And the answer is not easy. I mean, you don't – everybody uses Jerry Jones as one example. But ultimately, you're the person that's, you know, long-term responsible for the franchise. So you can't say, well, it's a coach. I'm not going to coach the game, you know, when we play against Minnesota. But ultimately, long-term, you're responsible, so you can't be uninvolved.
Sure.
On the other hand, you don't want to be running in lanes that aren't yours to run in. So I think you figure that out. To me, it's knowing the things where you can add value and staying out of the places that you can't. Like I said, I couldn't ever tell you who we should draft. I can't tell you who we should bring up from Milwaukee next week. But I can tell you, are we building an organization in the right way? And so you try to find that lane and run. And one of the things that I always tell our to Barry and the assistant general managers, again, you all have to make the decision, but I want you to explain to me why you're making that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like in business, if somebody said, we're going to buy this or sell this, well, tell me why we're doing that. And again, they get to make the decision. I just want them to explain it in a way they go, okay. I'm in.
How did you get hooked on hockey?
You know, it's funny. Like a lot of people in Nashville in 2017, you know, I was in office then. And, I mean, I'd been a hockey fan before. But if you were around here, like I said, and alive at all, you fell in love with the Preds and hockey then. And so fell in love with it, started coming to games more often. And then, like I said, I think the more you watch hockey, the more you go, this is a great game. It is a great game. And the more games you come to in person, you walk out there and go, it's just hard not to be a fan. So fell in love with it. Obviously love Nashville, believe in the future of both. It kind of was a perfect marriage for me.
Yeah, I think the 17 playoff run put Nashville as a sports. We were already big in sports,
it's
but
there.
Around the country and maybe around the world, because that was global. People were watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. They were watching Nashville and the watch parties out here, and people fell in love with it.
It's interesting how things happen that build long-term benefits. So, you know, I'm chairing this event, this committee for Nashville, what we call the mega events, to hopefully get a Super Bowl and a Final Four and college football playoffs and all that here, which I think we'll do all in due time. But it's amazing how many people go back to two big events in our history that put us on the map, the NFL draft and the 2017 Stanley Cup run.
Yeah.
And people like, oh, Nashville's a sports town. And not just college football or whatever it is. It's a sports town.
Yeah, and I believe the draft may not come here had it not been for
I think there's a
there,
big connection.
Right?
What the Preds did in 2017 in turning the whole city, or actually all of Middle Tennessee, on was a big factor in that. And then I think it did help get the draft. And, you know, there's kind of a virtuous cycle, if you will. One good event leads to another, which leads to another. And I think it's why we are today. And I wouldn't trade Nashville's future in sports for anybody's.
I'm sure you're enjoying the play on the ice right now. It has been a lot of fun.
December's been more fun than November.
Yeah, December has been more fun than November. But, you know, Barry Trotz is nice enough to come on this station once a week and has always said that the plan has always been the plan. The plan's in pencil.
Right.
It changes as it goes. So when you were talking earlier about, you know, wanting to know what that is, how much have you kind of seen the – the pencil get out and the eraser get out, and as you listen to Barry and Sean and Bruno and everybody kind of walk you through that.
Sure. So, you know, listen, after last year when this season started, I don't think anybody thought we'd be at 45 or 50 points at Christmas. Yeah. I mean, we'd have liked to have been, but I don't think none of us were spending. We were expecting a little better out of the first month and a half than you had. And I think all of us were, you know, a little perplexed about why we weren't showing better on the ice. You know, we've won, 9 of the last 13. We're playing a lot better hockey. You're seeing some of it come together with some of our older guys. You look at how, you know, Wood and Schaefer and Svech and, you know, some of our younger guys are playing. You see the picture developing with some of the young talent that you go, these guys are going to be good, and we got a lot more coming in terms of Kimmel and Martin, a lot of people who are in line to come up here soon.
I love it. Real quick, I know Sean Henry talks about walking the concourse, yeah, talking to fans, and yeah, they'll let him know what's good and bad. You get that too?
You do. You know,
which is good.
It actually really is. I mean, listen, folks, that's why we're here, right?
Right.
I mean, you got to have people that care about it to listen to this show. People aren't shy to tell you. It's actually one of the things that's nice about being in politics before, right? You're kind of getting – you get used to being shot at a little bit. And it's,
right.
It actually makes you a little better. I mean, you know, you don't always like it, but people – 99.5% of the people are really nice. But, you know, there are occasions when people, you know, let you know how much they care, and that's not all bad.
Right. Is Sean easier to deal with than a state legislature?
You know, I'm looking at him right now, yeah. No. Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah. Look, thank you so much for doing this. I know you're busy. It's an exciting day, though, to have Coach involved and obviously your involvement. And let's close out before the holiday break with two more points up in Minnesota.
Those would be two big points because, you know, we go on the road for what, 7 straight games, so
yeah,
getting 2 out of Minnesota. They've obviously been, well, they lost the other night, but they've been playing great, so those would be big ones. Hey, let me just say something before I leave. I actually really appreciate what you all do. People ask, like, you know, this is the Preds are an incredible success story. I mean, like I said, playing 500 hockey, the building's packed, people are into it. It's all of it, like what you all do is a part of it. I mean, having people engage, listen, talk about hockey, argue about hockey, talk about how dumb the owner is, whatever it is. it's part of what makes the magic that's Nashville Predators hockey. So thank you all for your part in it, too.
Well, thank you. And we, again, appreciate you. We're excited because I think this thing's just going to continue to grow.
I hope so. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. He's Bill Haslam.
Thanks, guys.
The majority owner of the Predators joining us here on the program. We'll have more next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, rolling right along on this Monday. Appreciate Bill Haslam for joining us here on the program.
Right, and he knows this hockey team, right? I mean, he naming off players left and right. I mean, an owner that knows what's going on but stays out of the way, right, a little bit?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. The guy's just a success.
Look, I had to stop myself when he said, you know, everybody's saying they hate the owner. I really wanted to be like, no, that's the other
across
team.
The river, right?
I loved his answer on that. I don't want to pick the players. I want to know what's going on, and I want you to explain to me why you're doing it. And I think that is a smart ownership group. That I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not getting too involved, but I want to know what's going on. And, like, if I owned a professional sports franchise, I would do that too. And then if I didn't see results, that's when I would go, okay, you've explained that you're going to do it this way. Clearly that's not working.
Well, how about this? You're adding a whole addition to your house, right?
And
you hire the construction guys. Would you not go in and say, hey, how are things going?
Yeah.
Doing right? What are you building there? I mean, you it's your money. You're involved.
Right.
I'd want
to
be involved.
So what is this? What are you trying to do here?
Yeah. Just explain to
100%.
I'm not telling you what to do to say, oh, we're doing this. Oh, that's great. And I think the comfort of that being is that do your job. Keep me in the room with you, but I'm not going to stay in the way. And so you'll see that. Again, winning, I mean, the mood after beating the Rangers last night in this building was fantastic. You beat the Maple Leafs on Saturday. You win like back-to-back against – you know, two iconic hockey teams, and you're rolling down and feeling good. Everybody was great last night. So, and then today the announcement with Saban being here, and it's a good time, man. It's a good time to be in this city.
Once again, the Capital J journalists are going to get mad at you because you asked the best question in the press conference.
Thanks, buddy.
That, you know, you got him laughing, and and everything. I thought it was great.
What if he knew how to skate? Like, I'll show you. And you see Nick Saban going backwards on the ice and, you know, skating around full circle or not. Get him on the ice, see what he could do. I mean, look, do you know how to skate?
No. We've talked about this.
Same. Yeah. I couldn't go 2 feet without falling down. And then, so it'd be fun to watch him. I mean, look, he's got involved for a reason, right? Because he likes the sport. He even said himself, I don't know a lot about hockey, but yeah, it's fun.
Right.
Right? So fun is being on the ice and see what you can do and all the other good stuff. But it's cool, man. I mean, it's
he doesn't
it's
need
a big
to know
deal.
About hockey. That's not why you brought
right.
him in.
Right.
But I love that he's like, well, I know how to be successful and can help teach that. And I don't think anybody would argue with that.
And this, like I told Mr. Haslam, I mean, the Preds are SEC college football. They are SEC college football's hockey team. You know, we saw that in media days, talking to officials and Sankey about hockey, and they're just raving. I mean, where else are you going to go? There's no team in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. There's no team in Birmingham. There's a team way down in Florida. But in the core of the SEC, man, it's the Predators.
Yep. Coming up next, we're going to talk to John McClain. We'll talk some NFL with him. That's all ahead. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.